to be here tonight. Good to see you folks here tonight. I guess we should have passed out bars of soap. You don't come in, could have had a shower. It surely rained a lot right before y'all got here, but we're glad you're here. We're thankful for those that have joined us via the internet and able to worship with us as well from their home. Looking forward to better days. And Jim, do you have there in your little booklet, when was the last Wednesday night we met? We'll be in Matthew chapter number 10. Matthew chapter number 10. Speaking of the press, Brother Paul and Brother Chase have been running down several leads on the press and trying to find one that would be suitable for us, and continue to pray for wisdom and direction in that. We certainly need it. We do have a help project coming up. We don't have much to do other than give them the floor place. Eastern Avenue is working with Brother Sturgis, Terry Sturgis up out of Georgia, Seedline South, and in coordination with Very Precious Seed in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, they'll be shipping 300,000 Taiwan John and Romans, Brother
John Martin,
Chase, and working in and out of our facility for a little while. So it's still being used for the Word of God. Last week we was able to send 1,800 pounds of Scripture to Nogales, Arizona, and it crossed over into Mexico this evening. So what a blessing that was. So Lord's still blessing. Even though we don't have a press, we're looking. God's still using the printing ministry and the Word of God right here out of the church property. And so we're thankful for that. Thankful we can cooperate and be able to be used of God during this downtime of our printing ministry. But we thought we had a good lead here on one, but we just could not get any straightforward answers that we were looking for. But we're still looking. And in God's timing, He's going to bring us the one we need. For certain. Matthew chapter 10, verse 20, the Bible says, "And ye shall, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you." And tonight, we're just going to spend a little time looking at Scripture and seeing how God speaks. A couple of weeks ago, Sister Lois had sent a message by Brother Josh to see if they could borrow a couple of our old songbooks, God Speaks. It got me thinking on that. That was a good cantata the church did there, God Still Speaks. And so I got to thinking about that, you know, and a lot of this racket, you know, they were looking for God's voice. The prophet said, "I didn't find it in the fire." A little bit of fire going around here the last couple of weeks. Didn't find it in the flood, or the earthquake, or the whirlwind. Just still small voice. And I got to thinking about that in this time of racket. Why would there be so much chaos and so much racket? Well, we as a people need to hear God. A nation that needs to hear from God. A world that needs to hear from God. Well, who would stir up all this racket but the old devil himself? The adversary of God has opposed him since he had pride well up in his heart and wanted the very throne of God. So, you know, in all this racket, if we're not careful, we're going to miss the still small voice of God. We are. He didn't stand out there on the bank of the shore and scream out there as loud as he could, "Peace be still." I believe he just spoke in his normal voice, and those storms just began to cease there. So when I think about it, if you'll turn over to Psalms 32, this verse here is actually the last verse we're going to look at, but I wanted to start there and finish there. Let's look in Psalms 32. this evening. Well, Jim, did you find that date? March 1st. Then Brother Josh, you did two Wednesday nights after Brother Josh. 18th. Two Wednesday nights. 18th. Wow, it's a long time since we was here in the Wednesday night service, so I'm glad that you're here. And thankful we're getting things started back in order. Looking forward to better things throughout the summer. And as God continues to bless and give us encouragement, it was good to see Miss Hathaway here Sunday night. She broke her hip. Psalms 32:8. Been a little different. I know y'all been used to looking at my desk for the last 2 months of Wednesdays. Verse number 8. This is what the scripture says here. 32:8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. So this is, as God instructs us and teaches us, you normally would have a textbook. You go to college. Nowadays a lot of them are even, you got any classes, Ryan, you took that they didn't give you a book? Not that they didn't use it. That is the big fuss with a lot of students. They spend money on these books and then the professor never even looks at them but maybe one or two times. Sister Cindy, when you finished up yours, did you have books?
Yeah.
A lot of books?
Online.
Online, but they were books. Sort of like I can open up my Bible here on my phone. You had a book, but it was digital. Did they use it all the time, or? Yeah. Anybody else in college right now? Yes, Ashley, you get books?
Yes.
Yes and no. You got classes that don't issue a book? But in the syllabus, it says you need this book or that book. But you learn information from other students that put online. You don't buy the book from him because he ain't going to use it. Am I right? Sister Nancy, in your classroom, do you issue out books? Do y'all use them? You know, a lot of churches have books too. Rarely sometimes use it. 66 books. You know how God's going to speak to us differently? He speaks to us through His Word. Hebrews says in Sacre time He spoke through men of old, but now through His Son. The living Word. And the living Word said this, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Matthew chapter 4. How does He do that? Well, He chooses the basis of men, divinely called, God-called men that surrender their lives to be preachers of the Word of God. And they're not always the most eloquent. I doubt there'd be many folks be calling John the Baptist his pastor these days if he showed up. I mean, if John the Baptist showed up with his resume, put it out there, church without a pastor, or maybe an evangelist send his packet on over there, and pastor open it up, and there's old John. Mason jar of honey, cage of locusts, and clothes that just didn't fit the call. They probably wouldn't have it. But the Bible says this about John. John was sent by God. You know, I can imagine Elijah showing up, you know, and wanting to present his ministry. A lot of church would not have it. But not that he was not called of God, it's because he didn't fit their preconceived idea of what a man of God should be. But I'm telling you, when he was on Mount Carmel, they knew he was a man of God. When he got done praying, fire fell. They some doubted. He said, go down there and bring me up some water. It ain't rained a long time there, buddy. I think you was the one that kind of was involved in this not raining business. But they went on down and brought water, did they not? Not one time. Several times. Several times. When they got done and he prayed that little prayer, they knew he was a man of God. But a man of God's got to have his tool, and his tool must be the Word of God. And we've got to have, if we want God to speak to us, dear friend, we've got to understand something. We've got to have the books. All 66 of them. I've got my favorite books. I'm sure you got your favorite books. I like the books 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Those are some tremendous books. And you think about the author, tremendous man of God, John the Beloved. You know, to sit and just hear the heartbeat of God. You know, but if I just lived off of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, I wouldn't have no growth. That'd be like me sitting around and eating carrots all my life. I might see from here to Jupiter and back, but I wouldn't have no growth. I'd walk around here looking orange. You can have a good diet, don't you? Even people that get on these diets, you know, if you stick with one whatever system, after a while, you know, it doesn't do too well to the body, because God made this body to have a good, moderate diet. And you've got to have a good diet, a well-rounded diet. I mean, as much as you like Chick-fil-A, different, I'm telling you, you eat Chick-fil-A every day, all the week long, man, I'm telling you, it won't be good for you. You've got to have some variety. And if all you're going to do is just read 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and if I tell you that ain't enough and you're going to quit, please keep reading 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. I'd rather you read 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. I'd rather preach every message. If it would keep you, you know, in the Word of God, I'd preach 52 messages a year out of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. If it would keep you in there. But, you know, you need more than that. And God calls a man, and a man of God is to get into the Word of God. You remember whenever they were having struggles in the first church, and they came to the disciples, the apostles, and so, you know, the Greeks are being neglected, and you know, they called out 6 deacons to serve and to watch over that. So why? So the apostles could spend time in the Word of God. Because we need to hear from God. We really need to hear God. I'm telling you, as God speaks, the Holy Spirit's job, in John 16, 13, 14, 15, 16, you look in there and study it, is that He might guide us and teach us. The Holy Spirit's job might give us an unction, an understanding. He gives us instruction. This is a spiritual book. It's discerned through spiritual means. You can have all the education in the world. You can go until you have 14 PhDs. But if you spend no time with God, and you're not divinely moved by the Holy Spirit of God, dear friend, you'll miss a lot. You may be very educated, but you'll not hear God's voice. You'll not hear God's voice. I believe in many times God, through Scripture and through study and through the walk of God, will impress upon us many times in certain situations. A powerful conviction might come over us and convict us of something that's been in our lives for years. As God moves, sometimes through providential means. You know, Charles Spurgeon was a man that smoked cigars. Thought it was good for the throat. You know, it was soothing. And one day they said that as he walked past his cigar shop, there was a poster there put by the owner that said, "This is the brand that Charles Spurgeon smoked." And Charles Spurgeon quit smoking cigars. He was moved, providentially moved, through this means. It's not just a poster. And that's how God had to get his attention. That they were using the preacher, the prince of preacher, great man of God, to sell their product and not to sell Jesus Christ. Can you imagine if he'd walked by that same window and he saw their poster, "The prince of preacher, Christ crucified," is his message. Been a different message, wasn't it? The message was about Jesus, but they wanted to use him as a selling point. So God speaks to his people through the Word of God. And the way he does that is through the preaching of the Word of God. Through teachers. Teachers, you know, that teach the Word of God. He speaks, God speaks with his people through these here methods. And we have to be very careful that we take the time to be in the Word of God. We have to be very careful that in the preaching of the Word of God, as it comes across, that there's not one point that is contrary to our heart, our way, and what we want to do, that we totally shut off the message of God. I'm not talking about my message or any preacher's message. But a preacher that preaches the Word of God many times will cover a topic or area or point in our life that we are struggling with, and we totally shut the message down. We don't hear from God because of that. Be very careful that there's times in our life that we don't sit underneath the preaching of the Word of God or the teaching. Maybe in one of the Sunday school classrooms, and they are teaching on a topic that you don't quietly agree with. And you shut the whole message down. Be very careful. Be very, very careful of that. Look over in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter number 1. Verse 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. I'm sorry. This is what it says in verse 3. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." I believe God speaks as we exercise fellowship one with another, and the fellowship is about Him. I believe it's, you know, the Bible says, "Your spirit and my spirit bear witness." So I believe that God speaks with us, and that's why it's so important that we assemble and minister, together. But as we fellowship together, there needs to be a time where we purposely spend time talking about God and things of God. I'm all for talking about the fish we caught and the hunting trails we went down and the motor we took apart. Those are instances that we can enjoy one another's ability. But I believe God speaks when we're fellowshipping one another, where two or three are gathered in His name, there He is also. Be very careful that we understand this. I'm not talking about some spooky something or other here, dear friend. I'm talking about Bible. That we need each other. We need that fellowship. And as we need that fellowship, we need to declare that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. You know what encourages the believers? When they spend time with you and you share with what God's doing in your life. That they understand God is real to you. That we have weaker brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, Jesus said, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. What does the Bible say about one of the great men of God in the Bible? He was a what to God? Friend of God. Who was that? Who?
Abraham.
Friend of God. Friend of God. How did that happen? How do you become friends, Brother Dave? You and Brother Lee meet a lot. How'd y'all build that friendship? Y'all never met? Because y'all spend time together. That's a friendship. How are we going to have friendship with one another if God ain't in the midst of that? How can two or three, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? What are we agreeing on? God. God. And so, listen, dear friend, we got to understand that God speaks to us through each other. That's why we need, in our friendships, we need somebody that's a lot more spiritual than us that we hang around with. Iron sharpens iron. So as I spend time with them and I look at their lives and man, they are long suffering. I am not. And it convicts me of that. That's God speaking through the fellowship. And as we have that, we hear the voice of God speak to us. The Holy Spirit of God lives within us if we're saved. And so as we spend that, we're seeing each other's life and we're like, wow. If we got friends in our lives, it doesn't help us to be closer to God this year than we were last year. But we're further away from God than we were last year. We need to check up on that. We do. Lot went without checking up on that. Look what it ended up on him. Lot took him a long way, took him the opposite direction. That fellowship's important. And that fellowship, it becomes a form of companionship. You know, when Jesus says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, that is companionship. We need people that will be beside us and with us and help us along the way like a Aaron and a Hur. We need that in our lives. So God speaks to us through His Word, using men to preach the Word and to proclaim the Word. And as it does, their message gets through to the heart. Preaching the Word is powerful. It's a powerful thing. Teaching the Word is a needful thing. But then God speaks through us through His people. Go back over there to Matthew chapter 10. Back over in Matthew chapter number 10. Verse 20. Let's finish up here. As a pastor, evangelist, Sunday school teachers that come in and teach in different ways, we need to be very careful that we should ask God's direction in our message, because as we flow through the message that God has given us, it is not a message that should not be, if it's God's message, it should not go unheeded or not heard. It needs to be received. We ask God to give us that direction, that as we believe in God and we speak for God, about the Word of God, the things of God, as we preach and teach those things, that people hear the message from God. Matthew chapter 10, verse 20 is where we stop. But let's back up a little bit and let's get a clear sight of what's going on here. Matthew chapter 10. And let's start in verse 15. Verily I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking. He said, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, he's talking to his disciples, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves, but be aware of men, for they will deliver you to the councils and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall say, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speak in you. This is the Lord saying, in a minute of crisis, in a moment when you're taken at rest, when in a moment you're brought aside and accused before men, don't worry about it. The Father's going to speak. How much more in the calmness of peace and stillness will the Father speak through us? We're not new revelators. I'm not having no new revelation. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking at those moments when you're sitting there and somebody explains something to you, or somebody shows you a situation in their life and they expose themselves at a weak moment, that the Holy Spirit of God brings a verse of Scripture to your heart and you can speak life. Not your opinion. Your opinion and 72 cents might get you a small coffee somewhere. May not. But I'm talking at that moment when they expose themselves in their weakness. They're looking for something and you don't know what to say. Listen to the Holy Spirit of God, because the Holy Spirit of God will speak and help you to help them. He said, in that moment when you were taken and accused, don't worry about it. What does He say? For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. I don't know how many times, dear friend, I've been sitting and talking with a family, a couple of men, or my wife and I with a lady, and they show and explain something to us. I'm thinking, oh Lord, how am I going? What do I say? But the Holy Spirit of God brings afresh a memory of a Scripture or a word from the Bible, and as it comes out, it's not us. It's God. So we need to understand that God speaks through. You know why we need to be clean vessels? We live in a wicked world, dear friend. And at any moment, your coworker, your aunt, your uncle, your son, your daughter, another brother or sister in the church can need you to be where you should be with God. Ye which are spiritual, lift up such a one that's fallen. He speaks through us. Not our opinion. I'm not talking about writing another book, the book of Lane of Boggy Creek. I'm talking taking an absolute word and hiding it in our heart, that it's a lamp to our feet, right there. Not a spotlight down yonder to the lake, but right here in front of us. And you don't know that that light is what that person needs right there that's with you. Christians need to be very careful. God's children need to be very careful to ask God's guidance and believe that He will use us to speak truth and life and healing into other people's lives. Not digging up dirt. Jesus said to the woman, "Man, where is your accusers?" "I don't know. It's just me and you. Neither did I go and sin no more." Life. Healing. Right there. Right there. But if we're not careful, walking in the carnal flesh, and we're living a life of carnality, and we're not walking in the Spirit like we should, dear friend, when that happens, we're like the rest. Naturally, we're looking for the dirt. We see only the dirt. We don't see the good that God can work through that situation. God can make a difference in their lives. I honestly believe that miracles still happen today. I believe, dear friend, when we believe that God can use us as His vessel, as His voice here in the wilderness, that God can use us and that home that's about to be torn apart because of more than likely ungodly sin. Sometimes it's foolish selfishness, but a lot of times it's ungodly sin that has crept in. And at that moment, dear friend, if we're right with God and they're there before us and we're saying, God, speak through me, use me, take the words that I've hit my heart, help me to be a blessing to the hurting, God will. Who knows that God will not use you to keep a home together? You know, we always hear about the great men of God. But usually behind those great men of God was just an ordinary person that loved God. Say, God, use me. Never know about the one who led D.L. Moody to the Lord unless you do a little bit of studying, right? But everybody knows about D.L. Great man. Preached great revivals. Never know about those. Those are the ones that said, Lord, I don't need the spotlight. I need you to use me and help me to bring somebody closer to you. Remember John? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. A man sent of God, a man, according to Scripture, was full of the Spirit from conception, right? Is that what the Bible says? I'm not making this up. A man that was powerfully, he was facing beheaded death in his weakest moments. And he said, listen, hey, go ask him. Is he the one? I don't want to have gone through all this. So, you know, your mind begins to play tricks on you. And Jesus said, go tell John this is what's going on. What happened? He spoke life into him. He didn't go back there and say, go tell John that remember that time you was in the womb, you left when I walked up in the room still in Mary's womb? Told him about what was happening right then and there and now. Things John had seen with his own eyes. And they came back. Did it rescue John? Still ended up with his head on the platter, didn't he? But that was the companionship that John needed. John, I'm going to come with you all the way to the end. I'll never leave you, never forsake you. Never. God's speaking, dear friend. And we as God's people need to hear. I don't know how many times. I need to look that up. I think I'm going to do that tomorrow maybe. How many times it says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said. Don't mean nothing. If he said it one time, he meant it. But I know he said it quite a few times. I do. God's speaking. Church, God wants to use us. We need to hear that voice. We need to be fed by the Word, paying attention, engaged when preaching's going on. Engage. God, feed me. Give me. God, I need you. So that when we're out there in that world, we're dealing with folks that are hurting, trouble, pain. We have something from God to give them because God's going to be the answer. Jesus is the answer. Every last one of us got our opinion on what's going on around here in this old crazy world we're living in. But our opinion is not going to change them. They'll burn in hell with our opinion. But with Jesus, there's opportunity. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for this night. We ask you, Lord, to bless us what we heard. God, help us to be instruments yielded to you, full of your Word, running over with Scripture that we've hid in our heart. Lord, we might be used of you. Lord, when we're in that moment, when whatever it is catches us and we don't know what to say, may they hear the Father, the words that we've hid in our heart, come forth out of our mouth and put a balm of Gilead on them, a healing touch into their lives. Your word is powerful. Help us, Lord, to heed it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.